Good morning.
The Bible reading of this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 9 to 16. John 15, 9 to 16. And it's like to blow and joy perfected. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made them known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruits, and that your fruits should remain, or whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Good to be here on the Lord's Day together. I want to welcome all our visitors today. It's good to have Jamie with us. Jamie's a friend of Millie's. They went to Tanzania together way back now, seems a long time ago. Normally we give you a Bible at this point, but I believe she beat us to it, so she's already taken care of that. We're glad that you've received that Bible. Just wonderful to be here. Sister Anna, good to have you back. We miss you.
Thank you.
So welcome home. Good to be here. Good to have you here. Just want to try and encourage you a little bit today. I want you to picture this right at the top of a mountain. Right at the very top of a mountain, there's this great big rock. It's enormous. And it's just, everybody can see just about as you look up to the top of this mountain, you see this big rock. And one day there was a bit of an earth tremor. And this enormous rock broke free. And it started to roll down the mountain till it hit a section of the mountain so hard that it smashed into many pieces. And these pieces fell into a waterfall. And the water was rushing them along till it got to the edge of the fall, and then all these stones fell down this waterfall, thousands and thousands of feet they fell. And they landed in a river at the bottom. And over many years, this river was slowly moving these now broken pieces along the bed of the river, and the water was rushing over and smoothing them over, and it was moving them along, and eventually they dropped into a little stream, and finally they came to a resting point at the edge of this stream. So from the top of a mountain was this mighty rock, smashed into many pieces, went down the waterfall, into the river, over the years, along the river, into the stream. And it found itself at the side of a stream. So a mighty rock becomes a pebble, or many pebbles. And there was a young boy. And this young boy took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five small stones out of this stream from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag or a pouch, as the Bible tells us, which he had. And inside there he also had a slingshot in his hand. And he set off to an enemy with this pebble in his hand, one little pebble that begun right at the top of a mountain as a rock. And he took that pebble, and then this man David put his hand into his bag. He took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that this stone sank in his forehead, and he fell on his face and died, and defeated an enemy. This enemy, this man, that the count is taken in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it talks about a shepherd boy who all the warriors, his own brothers, the king, everybody was afraid of this one giant man. And he took this young boy to go along and slay him. And I want to say this in the lesson today. I want you to notice something. God doesn't choose mighty rocks to do his work. God doesn't choose mighty rocks. He's looking for pebbles. He's looking for pebbles. He's looking for those who don't see themselves at the peak of a mountain, but those who see themselves in a little stream. Tiny, sometimes insignificant, often overlooked. Those pebbles have been in that stream for years. Years and years. Moved along through nature to finally become what they became. And you see, he's looking for those who don't see themselves at the peak, but he's looking at those who see themselves humbled in a stream and in a valley. You don't choose yourself for kingdom work. You submit yourself to kingdom work. In other words, to serve others is something that you choose to do. To serve others. To be effective in life is something that you choose to do. But do you realise that you had already been chosen to do that? So David, he chose and picked up a suitable pebble out of the stream. But the pebble that he picked up was something that was laid there, that was put there by God himself. It was part of his creation. And we see how David had chosen that. We know that God chose a suitable person to find and throw the pebble. He found a shepherd boy. The king of that time certainly wasn't going to go up against the Philistine. David's brothers were not going to go up against the Philistine. In fact, how humiliating for them. That there they are on the front line in battle, and their brother gets sent to them to give them a message in check on them. And he ends up being the one that God uses to accomplish this great task. Now, our passage this morning in John 15. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Love is the key. Okay, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then he says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be made in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And we see the example there. We see the definition of one who gives his life for his people. Then notice this. This is what he says. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. He didn't go and find people who were already, you know, covered in fruit and showing themselves in this way, but he appointed people who he could develop. People who could grow and develop in their life. And part of our Christian life, part of our walk in life is developing, becoming different people. Seeking to be different in the world, to make a difference in our communities. He says, you did not choose me. He said, I chose you. You know, if you're at the top of the mountain, you're full of it. You know, you feel so confident to look at me and, you know, I'm the one. And he doesn't go for that. He goes down to the stream and finds the pebble that's sitting in a stream that seems insignificant. And so, you're important. I want you to know that. You are important because you were chosen by the Lord. You were chosen by him. And when we see this, you did not choose me, Jesus said to his disciples, but I chose you. It's true that Jesus chose his disciples and his followers. And when he did, he was continuing what you might say is a kind of a culture or tradition of God himself and how God did all this. Of course, Jesus is God in the flesh, the Son of God. The Word became flesh. But what he did was he continued this process of being one who chooses people. And we see this throughout time. God choosing the most unlikeliest people to accomplish surprising tasks. Now, this is what I want to draw to your attention this morning. That don't ever feel that you are not important. Don't ever feel that you are insignificant. And don't ever feel that God cannot use you. He chooses the unlikeliest people without any question. And so, what I discovered through studying the Bible, every single example you see, he chooses an unlikely person to do an incredible task and accomplish surprising tasks and make a difference in life. There was a man called Joseph, unexpectedly became quite successful in Egypt. After a long journey with many twists and turns, he spent time in prison after being unjustly accused. Joseph became second only to Pharaoh. He helped Egypt prepare for a great famine. Why was all this? Because God had a plan for Joseph. As he explained this himself to his own brothers. Okay, in Genesis 15, verse 20, he says, even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. And there you see that he understood. He understood that Joseph was chosen by God to preserve God's people in that time. So Joseph was the chosen pebble. He wasn't a mighty rock, but he was just this small pebble that was chosen for a significant task. And when you read the accounts and look at the story and see what was achieved, you see exactly how amazing all of this is. Of course, we know Moses. When we look at the life of Moses, God chose Moses to preserve God's chosen people, God's race. Remember the plan of God, okay? Remember the story of God. Everything from the beginning leads up to Jesus. So when the people were coming out of captivity, it's part of the plan. Part of the plan was that God had got this plan in place that he was going to have through a pattern, the arrival of Jesus onto the earth. Included in that was a man called Moses. His task was to preserve God's chosen people, to free them from slavery in Egypt, to set them on a journey so that God could fulfill his plans that he spoke of. And Moses, of course, should have died as a baby. He was, of all the people that God had chosen, he chooses a man who, when he was a baby, should have died. He was hidden away. He was in a time where Pharaoh would kill all the firstborn of the people. But Moses was preserved. He was kept safe by Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's house. That's how amazing God is. And after he had grown up, he saw his people being beaten. He even retaliated and killed a man in Egypt, an Egyptian. He fled to a place called Midian. And until God finally chose him to confront Pharaoh. He wasn't a mountain, on the top of a mountain, he was down in the depths of a stream. So Moses was a chosen pebble. Bible. Moses was one who was chosen. With the disciples, Jesus was continuing the process. The disciples were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They weren't religious leaders. They weren't intelligent people. They weren't Bible scholars. Well, they weren't scholars and historians. They were your basic people. They were fishermen. They were just very basic. They were no experts in God's teaching or in scholars or classified as scholars. They were your basic men. And if anyone was asked to pick a team today to start a ministry, and if they were in the crowd, you'd probably miss them out. You'd probably say, well, they're just fishermen. They won't know. Or they haven't got any experience or knowledge. They won't know. One thing they had in common was this. They were chosen. They were chosen. Not by humans. They were chosen by God, by the Lord himself. And there in that upper room right before Jesus is arrested, I suspect that Jesus could see that they needed to be reminded of this. And so when we see this passage, he reminds them, listen, I chose you. I chose you. They were all scared and anxious and confused that they knew that one of their own had just left to betray him. And they also knew, because Jesus had said also someone's going to betray him. They heard that. And Jesus had commanded them firstly to love one another. So he's saying, you chosen people, love one another. He reminded them to abide in him, and he would be leaving soon to prepare a place for them. And they didn't know what to think, they didn't know what to say, and so they needed to remember something important. So Jesus said, listen, let me remind you of something. I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. So does us. Okay, the disciples were these pebbles in the stream. Moses, Joseph, all these people, many, many, many characters. Just you look at them. Look at the leaders in the Bible. Go through scripture. Look at the leaders in the old stories. See where they came from. See their backgrounds. Most of them said, why are you choosing me? I'm the least. I'm not worthy. Why are you picking me? Well, we have been chosen by God for particular purposes in this world as well. Of course, he doesn't select who's going to be saved. We have the freedom of choice to make the decision. But those who accept the will of God and become part of the body, he has chosen you within that body to have a purpose. So each one here has a purpose. A particular purpose. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We've been chosen. In Colossians 3:12, Paul tells us that we are God's chosen ones, are holy and beloved. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, he says, we are a chosen race, a royal priests of the holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You see, chosen by God to proclaim his message. How does the world know if we don't tell them? And so we have that. We have been chosen in order that we can go out and tell the world. So we are not a rock on a mountain, but we're pebbles in a stream. God is going to use you, allow you to be used in such a way that you will make a difference. God has chosen that we bear fruit. In order to bear fruit, we have to grow and develop, and it takes a process, you know. As Christians, we're chosen in that way as to how we live our lives. We have our gifts and talents that we can use. But we need to bear fruit. So we're growing all the time. We're developing. I told you before, you know, my grandfather was 99 years old. And he was still studying his Bible. And he still couldn't get his head around things. And often he'd say, I'm just trying to figure this out. I'm trying to improve myself and make myself a better person. He spent a lifetime doing that. And he's still doing it because it's a process. And so the world is a mess that we live in. And perhaps you and I have been chosen by Jesus to be disciples for times such as this, to be able to share with those around us. This city that we live in needs to hear the message. And that is the task that we have. And if ever there was a time for the church to be the people that God wants us to be, it's now. It's certainly now. I want you to know that David didn't choose his stone from a mountaintop, from a stream. He stooped down to get it. He took a stone that fell from the top and that allowed the river to carry it, that allowed the water to reshape it. It became a pebble that conquered a giant. What I'll say to you is your life is a development and God is working on it. You go through to people say, well, you know, Christians, you told me that this Christian life will be easy since I've been a Christian. I've been through, this is my Christian life. I've been through all kinds of things. I've seen all kinds of things. I've experienced all kinds of things. That's part of our development. That's what helps us grow and mature. The Christian life isn't changed. Circumstances are always going to be there. We still have to pay our bills. We still get ill. Christians still have accidents and things happen in your life. Things that you know, we can get disabilities and all kinds of things can happen in our life. We're not immune from all of that. God isn't looking at what we have, but he's looking at how we deal with it. And so part of our life is like that pebble falling. Ourselves are being chipped away and smoothed over and prepared. And it may take a time. And all of a sudden, you'll suddenly realise when God picks you up out of that stream and says, this is what you can do. This is how you will make a difference. And sometimes we say, Lord, I'm not the right choice. You picked the wrong person. Oh, how many times I've said that? Why me? Why am I doing this? Because God uses imperfect people. Because there are no perfect people. If you wait a lifetime for perfection before you can feel like you can do anything for God, you'll never get there. Just take yourself where you are and just use yourself and say, God, whatever you can use me for, I'm ready. Take it. Because there are no perfect people. We all mess up. He uses fallible people who are inclined to depend upon him. And one of the things about realising that we're not perfect is it helps us to realise that we're dependent upon him. You know, we're studying leadership at the moment, and elders, one of the things, elders are not perfect. They'll never be perfect. But they're a development, and the people with the focused mindset. And so what it is, it's about allowing God to nurture and shape us and allow us to see that we are dependent upon him. God uses the frail and the imperfect so that others can identify with them. You know, maybe you've gone through something in your life. You're the person that can share something about that with somebody else. Yeah, it might be somebody's gone through something and you've gone through. And they come to me and I say, listen, I'm not really sure where to go with this. I can show you passages, but listen, you need to go and speak to that sister or that brother. They've been through that. They understand and they'll be able to relate to you. And so we have to go through things in order to help develop us and help us to become who we become. God uses the weak and frail used. Do you know why? Because it brings glory to him. In other words, we can never take glory for anything that we achieve or do because it's only him that can make it possible. And so through our imperfection, it's him, God, that can make something perfect. So when David put that stone in that sling and slung it round, let me tell you, I watched a documentary once about a shepherd who used a sling, a slingshot. Them stones come out of that sling faster than a bullet out of a gun. They go quick and they can do a lot of damage. But you see, in that situation, that stone that was used, it was God that took care of that. Yeah. It wasn't reliant upon David's perfection. It was dependent upon David's imperfection, but willingness to allow God to use them. And so God uses us, weak and frail humans. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As much as we want to follow Christ and to be like him, we're human. And so we will spend a lifetime trying to perfect that and trying to get ourselves right, because humans make mistakes. What is God calling you to do? What is he calling you to do? We all have our flaws and imperfections, but that doesn't stop God from using you. He uses the ordinary person to create an extraordinary situation. God is calling you to do your gifts and abilities and to serve him in every way through the love that he has shown in the passage. And you'll feel inadequate. I'm not useful. I have no gifts. I see the gifts in this congregation. I see the gifts in this congregation because you can see that they're in action. And that shines those gifts out. You see, God, he wants you to allow him to use you and to use you for his glory. We sing a song, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thine will while I am waiting you." And still, that's what we need to do. We need to allow him to develop ourselves so that he can make us as he wants us to be. And we do that through study and through learning and through getting to know God. Allow God to bring you down from the top and allow him to take you down into the stream and make you the pebble that he can use to his glory. Allow him to mould your life so he can use you to his own heart and his glory. Amen.